I could request brothers and sisters, please, those who can, please move a little closer to this number. And sisters also, please join in this session with your presence of mind. And if I ask any questions, if I throw any questions your way, so be present to answer. And if you have a question and we have time, you're welcome to ask also. I think some people are still on the way. Please cite a surat al-Fatiha for all your Marhumeen and the Ulama Rabbani or Pastor. Alhamdulillah.
Income, all of that has an impact. Kya dil fakro
poverty makes a person disbelieve. If a person doesn't have personal, some of those qualities I just mentioned, we could easily add to that from our faith, the level of Iman this person has, how he has been raised from childhood, has he been given promoted, has he seen examples of from his parents, how they live their life, all of that. If that is there, you know, that can help. But it's very hard if you don't have money and you have to make difficult decisions and you don't compromise your values, it's hard. So you have to have some power. You have to have academic skills. You have to have, in the right sense, ambitious, you know, personality. You want to achieve. You want to work hard. You want to, you know, be responsible. Support your family. All of that are very important for a person and for all of us. So, if the second factor I was mentioning was social status, all part of peer risk factor, rejection by peers. Sometimes you are in a working in an environment which rejects you because of your color of your skin, because of your faith, because of your race, because of your ethnicity, because of your beliefs, your political views, all of that. So it becomes hard for a person to achieve more. You know, if for example he's surrounded by an environment constantly blasting against his views or being discriminated in sometimes very subtle ways, but all of that impacts. The third aspect is family risk factors. Inconsistent discipline. Many families are going through this problem. Inconsistent discipline. Sometimes it's 1 week is tough. No one's going to watch TV. No one's going to do this. No. Next week, we have been too harsh on our kids. Let them have some fun. And they're going to lose. And after a week, you see, it's too much. Shut down. Curfew. No work. Nothing doing. You know, all of that. Inconsistent discipline. Reliance on coercion. That means threats. If you do this again, this is what's going to happen. Harsh or abusive discipline. Poor monitoring of activities. Parents don't really know what's going on. And I don't mean always being on top of your child or always being there to watch him. It means sometimes indirectly knowing where the child is. You know? For example, coming home from school, is he on time? Is she coming back on time or not? What are the friends? What's going on between the friends? And you listen more to the child. When the child begins to speak, we sometimes adopt ways that are not helping. So the child stops talking, stops sharing. Insecure attachments, that's a big factor, big problem in families. The age when the child needs to be attached to the mother, to the father. Sometimes the father is not available. He thinks my primary goal is to earn money, and the child all his care is for the mother. Mother gets overwhelmed. So the result is the child basically doesn't know what to do. What is the future like? For example, this inconsistency in discipline, inconsistency in this attitude. Father not available. Mother overwhelmed, getting irritated because no one to help her out. She wants to share her frustration. The husband doesn't want to listen. Thinks that I'm the one doing everything and she's just, you know. So this is another issue. So the family, the individual, peer, family risk factors, and the fourth issue is school community risk factors. Now, we broaden that school and community to the media and the society. And this is just research I was citing about school violence. All of that happens. When you talk about media, for instance, you're talking about television, internet, radio, and all of these, right? We were two, three weeks ago, we were at the camp, which was organized by the Houston community, and we missed Maulana Shamiri there. We have been attending this camp last 4 years now, alhamdulillah, very well. Then one idea was there. So there was an interactive discussion, were had attended the island, the first thing that came up was very interesting. First, the sister stood up and said, "Well, when I turn on the TV, what I hear is we are being blasted, we are being targeted all the time, and it's, we just feel bad. Why? Why? I mean, you know, why all the time they are hitting us so hard for presenting our everything as if we are just a bunch of criminals? It is impacting our children, our youth, our grown-ups in a very negative way. Psychologically, if you keep listening, people undermining you, bringing you down, minimizing your role, you're bad, you're this, or people of your faith this, it naturally impacts. This frustrates our young people. And they don't know what to do with themselves, their faith. At school, how much should they talk about it? Should they even answer questions about it? Should they hide themselves? What do they do? So, and I think when we know this is a reality, that we are being affected by that, we have to get our own house in order. Our masjid and community, we have to bring young people especially in positive ways together, so that they are able to share this with each other and somehow relieve the frustration. Releasing this frustration, where else can they go? If for example, they gather in one place and they will share this and they will see, the least that would happen is they will see their belt. I'm not the only one. All these 200 young people, they're going through the same thing, you know. So they will help each other out, and if ulama are there to understand that, and they will say, okay, you know, in history, many times this has happened. They will cite from Quran, the cycle from Hadith, from history, say, well, you see, when you are doing something that challenges the status quo, you know, then the people in authority, they try to crush you. They don't want change. They resist any kind of change in the society. This is a capitalist, materialist society. This society is based, is founded on such principles, like personal freedoms, you know, choice, whatever you want to choose. And people tend to become very capitalistic, very individualistic. It's all for themselves. That's why we have all this economic problem going on, right? Because of this greed. And then they are wondering why it happened. But it's happened because of this. Because of their system. The capitalist system means this. It had to happen one day. Now it has happened. And now they are asking why it happened. So when there is too much emphasis on my needs and my wants, in fact, what I want, and then people become self-centered. So we have to kind of engage with our young minds, with our families, with people that are going through similar issues. Am I making sense? Do you understand?
Sure.
Any question? I can take one question and then carry on. Anything from sister side? Okay. So, we're talking about the impact of media and culture on our values. Before I move to our values, I would like to add something about culture. Most of us, I think, is there anyone born here? How many of you are born here in the United States? Okay. But it's a small minority, still significant, mashallah. So, what we do, what we see here is that, now those who raise their hands, do you see a difference between your culture and your parents' culture?
Yes.
Those who see a difference, still raise their hands. Your culture and your parents' culture, which is the national culture and the immigrant culture. You do see a difference, right? Some of you are probably hesitant to answer. There is a difference. We all know that, grown-ups know that. And this thing becomes clear in our way of communication. For example, we from Pakistan, India, especially those from Arab countries, they tend to speak loudly, you know. And they over-speak sometimes. We often like to, well, when whoever speaks, whoever takes dominates the conversation is like a winner or something. He has to speak a lot. to make his point. Because he's right, because he speaks so much, you know. He speaks and speaks. And so in our school system here in the United States, people take turns when they communicate. So it's considered very bad when one person just keeps talking. It's like rambling, you know. Why does he shut up? You know? People want somebody to slow down and let the others speak. Here, but in our culture, mostly, this is, for example, a meeting. When a young guy is sitting or a girl is sitting, and for example, all older people, you see that they don't get a chance to say anything. Actually, they were waiting for their chance. And everyone else was talking. The way they're raised here in the school is that, okay, everyone gets a chance, you know. So if one person talks, then gives a turn to someone else. Even if no one raises his hand, he becomes quiet, waits, then somebody speaks. So, this is one, I'm just giving one example of conflict between our cultures. And there is a lot of emphasis in this culture, national culture, United States, on personal responsibility, which is very good. People accept responsibility for their actions. What you do, you pay for it. You bear it, okay? If you make a mess, you clean it up. All of that is highly emphasized. And so in some ways, in Islam also, there's a lot of emphasis on personal responsibility. You know? Hasib nafsak. You do your own accountability. Take care of it. Look at your own actions. What are you doing? All of that is good. So, we need to know, now, in our culture, immigrant culture, a lot of things are about me. As if I don't matter. And that's why we sometimes don't understand where every one of us is doing wrong. We are always saying, okay, this is what, how we are raised, this is a brother or sister. Forget about we. Understand your own responsibility. If something is not working because of the way we are handling things, then we need to change it. And you have a role in it. Every single person has a role. Right? We need to adopt. We need to see cultural things. Islam has promoted values, not a single culture. There was Arab culture when Islam came, right? But Islam did not endorse Arab values, Arab culture, I mean. Islam is a religion that has values, and if any culture can fit into it if it adjusts. So the culture needs to adjust to fit within the value system of Islam. Just as the culture, those who are born in American culture are adjusting to Islamic values. And this happened exactly in Arabian culture, happened in India and Pakistan, happened in Iran where there was Persian culture, then Iraq, in Europe it happened for centuries. Now it's happening in the United States. But we immigrants have come also with a culture that is not necessarily Islamic culture. It's we have just become used to handling our things the way we saw others doing it, right? But we didn't take the time to check whether how much of that is really conforming with Islamic values. So we insist on things, we think this is what doing this way, you know, is Islamic, because my dad was doing it, my uncle was doing it, my brother was doing it. So in order to bridge the gap of cultures between parents and children, there needs to be a lot of hard work done. This is a big area where not just our community, all immigrant communities from Asian countries are struggling. Struggling heavily. Because children, for example, when they reach teenage, they start asserting themselves. Many Asian parents don't like when the children answer them. Or they say, well, I don't understand this, I don't feel like that. So you have to know that yes, you're not giving in to your children, but at the same time, you're not pushing them. That doesn't mean the child, whatever the child says is right, but you have to listen to the child. And then you have to share your expectations with the child. And the good thing is, your expectations are not just yours, they are from Islam and Holy Quran. When an American parent says, my expectations are these, that's his own expectations, right? But when we say, for example, my expectation as a father from you is this, and the child asks, well, why? Who says? And I can say, well, here it is. So this is the Holy Quran. So that's a big step. And Christianity is weak on that. Because Christianity doesn't have clearly defined black and white rules about everything. But Islam has. So that you in fact make your work easier if you understand your values and if you are able to clearly state that, for example, my expectations from you are these. So the child says, well, I am frustrated because all I got, whatever the issue is. And after listening to that, you say, well, I can understand that and this must be hard on you. And then you say, okay, I am not pushing you, but let us see what our morale says. And if you don't have the language to communicate with your child, say, okay, let's stop this conversation here. Here's the phone number for Maulana so-and-so, just call and ask. Or this is the website, go and check. So don't make it an argument between you and the child. Because you are not confronting the child. Actually, no one is. It is a matter of education. As a teacher, you behave differently. As a teacher, when you're an educator, you have a very important role to play. It's a very difficult role. Successful teachers, what do? Just ask yourself. Successful teachers are not the ones who stand and lecture. Successful teachers are ones who are able to impart education. The child feels he has learned something. The measure is that the child has learned something or not. It's not whether how good the teacher, whatever some kind of presentation, it's not the teacher's point of view. It's the impact of that, the outcome of that which is supposed to be measured, right? So if the behavior of our child is changing, they're getting better, that means we are successful educators. And if it is not, that means whatever we are doing is not working. So that means we have to look into ourselves in this regard also. The culture is really, really coming in our way. Difference of culture, I mean. I don't mean my culture or child's culture. The difference of culture between the two generations, it is... media and culture. Now, our values. I've found some beautiful quotes from the Wasiyat Nama of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And just point some of the lines. I've taken the meanings out. So just the meanings I will mention. He says to his son, after the advice of taqwa, and to enliven the heart with the yad-e-ilahi, with the remembrance of Allah. So abstinence with piety, that is, taqwa is piety, responsible behavior comes first, then Imam says, enliven your heart with remembrance of God. Give life to your heart. Hearts become dead. You remember Allah and it will become alive. Then he says, how the heart becomes alive? He says, the heart becomes alive when you do mu'iza, nasiha, when you remind, keep reminding the heart. Right? For example, you say, well, I haven't really not been a good father. I have not really been a good person. I have not, been a very honest person. I have not. So you really take account of yourself and you tell yourself, well, when will you grow up? When will you become a better person? When will you start acknowledging your faults? When will you start changing? This will give life. It will shake up things inside. It will shake up things inside and you start asking really, okay, then what is it I need to do? Then he says, you will humble yourself when you remember death. Remember death. See how much of that is happening on the media. How much of that is happening in the culture around us. And then you ask, okay, then how do I get these things? That means you have to associate yourself, improve things in your community and create that environment. Another thing, basirat. Have insight. Insight, you know, basirat. When you look at the fajaa'i dunya, the calamities of dunya, look at, you know, big powerful rulers, how they fell to their knees. How great powerful empires just failed totally overnight. American economy, just look at what's happening right now. Isn't it the source of basirat? For many of us who were thinking that America is invincible, American supremacy on earth, like one pole on the world, the global domination, all that is now gone. and listen to the facts of events of past people, past nations, right? And see where they were and where they have gone. And think, I am here and I am going the same way. And then you start improving on the issues that are real for you, which is for Akhirat. So dunya is just nearing its end. For me, for some of us, many of us, or the fact is for all of us, the world is just coming to an end for us. Because I don't care really, once I'm gone, what happens to dunya? For me, it's the few years I have here, right? For you, it's the few years that you stay here. And it doesn't matter really what happens afterwards. So dunya is, as long as you're here, that's your dunya. And it's coming to an end. So what remains, what will really last, is the alam akhirat. And that is what we need to fix for ourselves. Islah amr akhirat. That is a key issue for us. Then Imam says, stop talking about things that you don't know. And he emphasizes on that a couple of times. 3-4 times in this wasiyat to his son, he says, stop talking about things that you don't know about. Da'al qawl fima la ta'rif wal khitab fima lam tukallaf. And stop making judgment about things that is not your responsibility to judge. Yeah? You judge things as if you are the one solely responsible to make that judgment. If you didn't do it, no one else can do it. And we speak about, you know, the topics come up in conversation and we are trying to answer everything that's going on. As if we have all the answers. And most of the time, 95% of the time, we are talking about not about ourselves, about other people. Mr. this, this, that, this sister, this, that, oh, this brother, all of that. And someone asks you, well, didn't you ever do it before? And it turns out that you are the one responsible for yourself. So, I hope I have not stayed my
time.
No, no. Thank you for coming. Okay. Don't go on a path when you fear that this path will mislead you. Choice of career, for example. Choice of a spouse, right? Whatever decisions you are making, if you are not sure, you know, 5 years later, when I graduate from this, what will I be doing? If you don't really know where this thing is taking you, don't waste your time on it. If you fear this path will take you in the wrong direction, will mislead you, stop. You should have brakes. Apply those brakes. In the hadith, Aima have said, if a person does not have a wise insight, then the nasihat of other people will have no effect. If I don't have an inner guide, then the advice of other people will have no effect on me. And this beautiful part in this wasiyat, Imam al-Islam says, and this is also an answer to an important question. Imam says, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ تَقُدْ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. Do amr bil-ma'ruf. That means, amr means command. You know, command people to do the right. Command the rulers to do the right thing, do justice. That means, use your influence and set things right. So use your influence, say what is right, give advice, you know. تَكُنْ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. And you will become among those people who act upon amr bil-ma'ruf, who actually do the right thing. So start saying the right thing so that you start doing the right thing. You see? Some people say, well, until I become perfect, I cannot tell another person. Well, brother, yes, you have to try to be perfect, but at the same time, without winning, start correcting others also. Start saying to other people also that they should do right. Don't wait for a day when you become perfect, then start telling people. If there is injustice, for example, and you say, well, I'm also not fair sometimes. That doesn't mean you let the injustice continue. Go out on the street and demonstrate. So that you will also become among the Ahle Amr, Ahle Ma'ruf, right? Because you will stand for it. So you will become, because when you say something, it impacts your personality also. Like I'm talking to you right now, I'm saying these things, it is impacting me also, inshallah. Anytime you stand up and say something good, it impacts you. So don't say, well, I'm not perfect, why should I tell another person? Brother, you have to. In fact, to become a good person, you must say the good things to other people. وَجَاهِدْ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Just two more points. First is, and fight, struggle in the way of Allah, the way you should struggle. حَقَّ جِهَادِ. وَلَا تَعْقُلْكَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ اللَّهِ. And do not fear the malamat of other people. When you stand up for something, you struggle, and people start criticizing. Well, Maulana, you are becoming a little radical. Well, brother, sister, don't say that. You are extremist. You appear to be an extremist. لَا تَعْقُلْكَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Don't be affected. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged by the criticism of the negative feedback of other people. Tasabbur, I'm sorry, two more points. Tasabbur. Tasabbur means give habit to yourself to endure hardships before you actually achieve the ability of sabr. Tasabbur is before sabr. Tasabbur means that, well, perhaps you cannot really endure the challenges you have, but you make yourself as if you can. You accept responsibilities, even if at this time you cannot. But by actually doing it, you will become a sabur. You will become a sabir person. So don't say, well, when I become strong enough, then I'm going to go and study religion, for example. Or go to become an alim. Or I'll become, when I become strong enough, then I'll. Well, brother, you will become strong when you actually accept the responsibility. In the Kalimat al-Nisar, I was reading, Imam al-Nisar says, when you fear something, just jump into it. Dive into it. When you fear something, dive into it. Because the fear of that thing is more, is worse than actual challenge outside. The fear of that challenge outside, that fear is more killing, more destructive than the actual problem that you are trying to confront. One last thing here, of course, and that's key to our faith as Shia Muslims is Hukumat-e-Ilahiyah. Muslim values are all surrounded by, according to our Shia faith, Imamat. And Imamat means Adl, Taqwa, Ilm. Three things. Adl, Taqwa, Ilm. Ruler should have three qualities. So that's why we don't accept. See the, how the media and culture is destroying these things? Where is the emphasis on Adl for justice for them? With the emphasis on taqwa purposes. All the media is now consolidated in the hands of a few people. And they are portraying more violence, more aggression on the TV screen to win more consumers. To get more consumers, they are showing more bad things to win more airtime, more customers, all of that is. So, adl, taqwa and ilm. Where is the emphasis on faith and knowledge? Usually the person who becomes the leader of this country is the most ignorant person, most of the time. Who has no idea where the world is going. I mean, at least last 8 years we have seen that. So well, you can see if the leader of a country is so such an idiot, then what the whole country is going to what to do with the world, you know? Especially given all the resources and media and all that. So we therefore have so many challenges. The topic given to me was really, really very vast and big. Where I was trying to draw your attention to a couple of things here. As parents, as community activists, organizers, you know, as young people, that first of all, we need to really create a range of awareness about the enormous challenges we are facing living in this country. And we have the help that we need. Some of the help is available, like the ulama, like the Islam sources we have, and there's help that is not available yet, and we have to find it. We have to prepare ourselves to get it, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Yes, bro. Oh. Okay. Before I ask you a couple of questions, yeah. The media and influence of society right now makes us think to vote the lesser of the evil. What should we do? You know, this little hypothetical question also, but also relates to the current events. The hypothetical issue is this. For example, I am sure that one candidate is definitely better than the other for Islam. this is hypothetical, right? So if I would answer this hypothetical question, yes, brother, if you are dead sure that one candidate is good for Islam, the other is bad for Islam, of course you will go and vote for the one who is good for Islam, because you are 100% sure about it, right? Now, come to the reality. First of all, I think this is more of a perception than what actually is out there. But then, has any Muslim met the candidate you are referring to? Any of you? Any Muslim organization has any access to the candidate you are talking about? Has there been any commitment given to the rights of the Muslims? Now, I'm not trying to answer this. I'm raising questions. If in the end of asking all these questions, you come to a conclusion that, yes, I'm sure, definitely this is the issue, well, it's your conscience. But you have to see, it should not be your assumptions, should not be your perception. It should be something you can hold on to, something tangible. Last two, three elections, we have been seeing that. Muslims just had a perception, oh, this so-and-so is so good for us. Because some Mr. So-and-so, the Muslim name, is his old friend or something. Or someone he knows, or I don't know, he once met so-and-so, he said, well, this is not enough, you know. So we need to really, before really entering politics, we need to organize ourselves as a community. And although the Muslim Congress is making some effort in this regard. And that was the reason Muslim Congress was founded, the Shia organization, that we have to stand up in the political arena with our principles and then engage, organize ourselves, make some goals, then engage. Not sit as spectators, not just decide everything individually, rather collectively. Then it will impact, right? So I'm not trying to really go into the video. Okay. I quoted from Imam Ali's wasiyat. Can you repeat some of the points? Raise your hand. I said a lot of things. Give me three at least.
Is this a question to you or you are asking?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Yeah, I'm asking you. Yeah.
If you're scared that the path will mislead you, don't follow it.
Okay, good.
One. If you're scared of something, go into it.
Okay, good. That was part of Najul Balar. Not in the scared, but okay.
One
here. Okay, whoever answers, you say three. Anything. Could be, you can repeat that, but I just want three, yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to say the subword.
The subword means? Define that in here.
To be prepared for the suburb, you can say, or to
Like the suburb is like wearing a dress that's really not yours, but gradually becomes yours. You know, like the second year, third year students put on amama and abaya, you know, but they have just studied some Arabic and some basic ahkam. But by wearing this dress, 5 years later they will become alim, right? Any system. Can you give me three things? Or let me... Okay, can I ask you this question? Sisters, can you answer this? What are the risk factors that shape up a child? Risk factors. Give me at least two or three. Anyone? Raise your hand, sister. Come on.
Sister.
No, you are not a sister. Alright. Any other questions?
Your question?
Well, okay, good. Well, you are in the workshop also, I guess. You're, okay. Lack of communication. Very good. Environment in the house. So, you know, in another way of putting it, it's personal qualities, then family, then school and neighborhood, and then the media and the culture. This is the fourth thing, four circles, concentric circles. In the theory and the research is done, it's your personal qualities. Do you have responsible behavior? Do you think like this? Are you responsible? All of that. Then family interactions, I was saying parents and children need to learn to communicate, really. Because there's the difference of cultures, we are all struggling. Third is the school and the neighborhood, the peers, you know, peer pressure, influence and all that, and then the media. So I am encouraging personally, I'm just finishing this. I think it's time we all can really start working on the media, make up our movies, small things, you know, and then bring this all together. I think many communities are working on it. There was a very nice movie made by the Shia community in London, I think, or England somewhere, 313. And we showed it to the young people in our community, and they were thrilled because a lot of people came afterwards and wanted to learn more. And so we need to, you know, get ourselves a little bit organized, and we have the ability to do it. So inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq.